FM. Game on. Rugby. So as mentioned, two notable retirements from within Irish rugby were announced today. The Connacht captain Craig Clark has announced the end of his career. This comes after a number of incidents of concussion. It's an area that we have talked about quite a lot on the programme. We most likely will come back to it again and how concussion is managed and regulated within the game. But Craig has taken this step after medical advice from a number of sources. Ahead of that, another of Irish rugby's golden generation of stars was forced to hang up his boots prematurely. Stephen Ferris today announced the end of his career at the age of 28. He suffered an ankle injury in November of 2012. He did make a comeback this season, featuring in four games for Ulster, but unfortunately a reoccurrence of that problem led to him having to hang up his boots. That news confirmed by the 35 times capped Irish international. Today, I had the opportunity to chat to him. I certainly began by asking if this was a decision that's been inevitable for some time, or if it's one that's become necessary in the recent days and weeks.
No, it's been a couple of weeks now since I last went and seen the surgeon. Obviously, had to get medical advice on what way to proceed with it. And you know, the best medical advice was for me not to play professional rugby again because my ankle isn't really up to it. And you know, unfortunately, I've had to retire and hang up the boots, but I think, you know, I can look back on my career with no regrets, and you know, I've enjoyed every single minute of it. And unfortunately, having to retire has come a couple of years earlier than I expected, but you know, the way the professional game is at the minute, maybe not a surprise to a lot of people.
Overall, is it something that impacts on your day-to-day life, or is it just purely it's not at a level that would sustain a rugby career?
No, 100% does impact on my everyday life. Yeah, you know, I can't walk up a set of steps without having to walk on my toes. You know, it's I've no dorsiflexion in my ankle whatsoever. I think it's like -2, so you know, where the other one's maybe 20 centimeters. So it's it has a massive effect on my everyday life. You know, I probably won't ever run again, just to let it settle and not be in any pain. So for me to keep myself fit, it's, you know, a lot of cycling, swimming, off feet conditioning, just to try and keep myself in good shape going forward. But yeah, it impacts every day, and you know, it's sore every day, and having to take tablets to get rid of inflammation, that kind of thing is going to be an everyday thing for the next months, maybe years, going forward anyway.
That's pretty frightening to hear that from a fella who's not even turned 30 yet. That's obviously the toll of the modern professional game.
Yeah, it is. It is. Unfortunately, I just had a really bad injury in 2nd November 2012 against Edinburgh at home here. You know, I just really done the ankle some serious damage. You know, three operations to try and get a few things sorted out and to try and give the ankle a bit of breathing space. You know, it got me to a certain level, you know, and I've done a lot of training, but as soon as I get into match mode and had to do, you know, get into lineouts and coming down from a height of lineouts with a bad ankle, you know, it isn't great. So a couple of games in, kind of was starting to get sore, and then a couple of weeks after the Saracens game, you know, I had to go and see the surgeon again to seek his medical opinion of what way it was going to go forward. And for him to turn around and say to me, "Look, Stevie, your ankle isn't going to get any better. You know, this is the way it's going to be." It was tough to take, but that's professional rugby. You know, I've had a couple of bad injuries and a couple of dark days, but at the same time, I've had a lot of positives and a lot of things I can look back on and say, you know, I'm glad I achieved that, and I'm glad I played a professional game.
Stephen, while you were doing your press conference, Connacht have announced that Craig Clark has retired on medical advice. And we look at, you know, he's just gone 30, you're 28. You look at this stream of guys who've been forced out of the game. And while we love watching it, do we have to start questioning if the modern professional game is just too much for the human body?
For me, I don't think so. Not at all. You know, Craig's probably been unlucky with getting a few bangs to the head. You know, I've been unlucky with getting a bad injury to my ankle. But you know, I think nowadays with the way the game is, the way it's so fast, you know, a lot of guys are a lot more physical. Everybody's strength conditioning is at an all new high level. But you know, the guys play the sport for a reason. It's because we love it. It's because, you know, we love getting out there and putting our bodies on the line. And if you ask any rugby player, they wouldn't change it. Any of the boys here definitely wouldn't change it, that's for sure. And for me, yes, the game's definitely getting more physical, and you know, there is a lot more injuries occurring, but I think, if my ankle was 100%, I'd be running out there every single Friday night. I wouldn't change a thing. But yeah, there is a lot more injuries. But I think you know, there's a lot more people playing the game too. So maybe it's a bit of a thing. You know, it probably is a talking point. But from my personal point of view, I don't think it's an issue going forward.
And would it have been that sense of camaraderie, that band of brothers mentality going in, day out, that kept you going? Because I can't imagine what it's like to go into the gym day in, day out to try and rehab an injury like this when you know that it could be the end. So, you know, how have you managed to make peace with that over the last couple of years?
Yeah, with great difficulty. Obviously, it's tough, you know, but you've guys in the gym. There's guys like Paddy McAllister, who was out with a cruciate injury. He was out for a lot longer with hamstring problems, so he was out for about, I don't think he's actually played for Ulster for 2 seasons. So he's been in the gym with me for a long time. Guys like Paddy Wallace, who done his cruciate. Stuart Olding, this year, he'd done his cruciate. He's been out all the season with his cruciate. There's other guys that come and go with smaller niggles. So there's always people around the gym. And never at one point was I standing in the gym on my own, you know, looking at a wall going, right, how am I going to get through this session? Because there's always lads around me to get me through it. Mm. You know, the lads have been brilliant. The Ulster guys have been fantastic. Supported me 100%. You know, when I made my comeback against Scarlett, you know, they were right behind me. And I think that's something that people don't see in rugby, is the camaraderie and the special bond that there is within rugby teams. And there's certainly that here within Ulster. And it's just great to be a part of that over the last number of years. You know, hopefully we'll still be a part of it, but I think I'll be a part of it from the stands.
On that, the return against the Scarlets and that first tackle you put in, where it's, you know, I think that people are talking about as if you drove a fella back 200-300 yards. It was impressive, but it wasn't quite that far. When you were in the moment, that must have meant so much to you to get that reaction from your own supporters.
Yeah, it was 400 yards, wasn't it?
It's half a mile in my mind. He was halfway to Portadown when you finished.
Yeah, of course. It was good to get back. You know, Ryan put up a lovely box kick. And I think, you know, any kind of doubt that I had in my mind, maybe 3 or 4 weeks leading up to coming back into playing professional rugby, had been extinguished there and then, because, you know, I got straight into the game. I got my shoulder on a target pretty early on. And, you know, that was probably the best 20 minutes of rugby I played in the 4 games that I played for Ulster coming back in. You know, but it probably was the best, was because that's the best my ankle was feeling. You know, week on week, my ankle kind of got a little bit sore and deteriorated slightly over the next 4 weeks. But yeah, it was good to get back into it. The buzz that I got from the crowd was unreal, and you know, and something that I'll never forget.
Looking back at it, what is it, 2 World Cups, British and Irish Lions tour, a Grand Slam, all the good days out with Ulster. It's not a bad return for a boy from Portadown.
Yeah. What are you trying to say about Portadown?
For if nothing at all.
Look, listen, it's and to kind of look back on it, and I actually injured myself when I was 26. So, you know, to achieve all that there at the age of 26 that I was is something special. A lot of people kind of say to me, look, you maybe should have had double the amount of Ireland caps that you achieved. But, like, listen, that's the way it is. And those 35 caps for Ireland, you know, I left my body on the field in every single one of them. So, yeah, I can look back on it and say, look, listen, I achieved a lot of my rugby career. Potentially I could have achieved a lot more, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you got to take what you're given. And as you ask anybody at any other club around the world, if they had what I was had achieved, to bite your hand off. So, you know, look, listen, I'm over the moon with what I've achieved over the last number of years, but obviously pretty disappointed to be leaving the club.
Overall, what would you like the future to hold?
I would love the future to hold happiness, no more injuries, and about £5 million to keep me going over the next 10 years would be great.
That's it. Get out there now and get all the media and endorsement works before Brian O'Driscoll manages to clobber. Just a word on the rugby. It's a very exciting time. You're going to be an Ulster fan now rather than a player. It's an exciting time to look at what's ongoing at Ravenhill and the squad that's been put together there. But if we look at that pack, and Corta, Foa, Muller and Ferris are now absent, there's plenty of opportunities for players to force their way in next year. But should Ulster fans have any concern about, you know, those significant players not being a part of the club going forward?
Listen, it's never great when 4 or 5 key players from a team leaves, and I think, you know, there will be a little bit of rebuilding for next season. But look, David Humphreys is bringing in fantastic players to cover the guys that are leaving, and I've no doubt he'll be bringing in somebody of, you know, of a world class ability to cover me now that I'm leaving. But look, it's exciting times for Ulster. I think, you know, with guys leaving, it brings in fresh blood. There's new guys going to be coming in, there's younger guys going to be coming in, and as you rightly alluded to there, it's going to give guys a chance. And I think it is just an exciting time. As I said earlier on, a couple of people, I was doing a few interviews earlier, and I've been with Ulster since 2005, and you know, we were a middle of the table team, you know, and we've come such a long way in the past 8-9 years, and now, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with the whole way around Europe. So to see the kind of squad and the team and the whole of Ulster, you know, get so big over the past 8 years, it's great to be a part of that journey. And, you know, thankfully I'll be still a part of that journey, except I'll be over on the other side of the pitch cheering the lads on from the stands.
Stephen, it always feels strange to be, I don't know, you meant to congratulate someone on their retirement, but you know, I sense that obviously this isn't the way you'd have wanted it to have ended. So good luck with everything in the future, and maybe more importantly, for all those great teams you were a part of, all those great days you gave us, thank you very much.
No bother, thanks very much for your time. Cheers.
That's Stephen Farris chatting to us earlier. Tweet in from at Nolan Ange. We'll try and hold back the tears. What an inspiration, what a player, what an all-round gent. We'll miss his puffy cheeks. Such a dignified interview, honest to the core, health come first, best of luck to him, no doubt. He will be involved down the line. Michael Corcoran, our rugby commentator, is with us. When I think of Stephen Farris, I don't think his puffy cheeks are one of the first things to come to me. Very open in that chat, but it's kind of frightening, that early aspect of it, the impact that this game that he loves so much has had on his life.
Yeah, the one thing that struck me, or one of the things that struck me about it actually, is how positive he was throughout the course of the piece that you did with him there. Obviously, he's kind of braced and prepared himself for the last while, knowing that this horrible day in a player's career could come. I mean, when you look at Stephen and you look at a long line of players, including, I'll just list a few names there, Olamalli, Dennis Leamy, David Wallace, Jerry Flannery, people like that, all young men who had to finish up a lot quicker than they expected to.
And then beyond that, you and I have the pleasure of working with legends of the game, and it's only when you see them away from the field of play, you know, fellas who didn't play at anywhere close to the intensity that's ongoing here, that the impact it's had on them. So I keep coming back to that one issue. Has the game got too big, too fast, too strong?
Well, it's got bigger, stronger and faster. Whether you put the word two in front of it, I'm not sure, you know, because I mean, all you've got to do is talk to people like Donal, and he'll say to you how scary it is now when you're in a situation. When he played, you know, players were maybe second rows were 14 and a half stone. Now, 14 and a half stoners don't even play in the centre nowadays in the modern game. And certainly the, you know, the whole physicality of the thing has actually got absolutely huge. But so too have the size and style of player that's actually playing.
Just to pay tribute to Stephen, we've an embarrassment of riches in terms of back row players at the moment and in this generation. But if they were all fully fit, you'd have them. You'd nearly have them in your starting three.
Well, I always say about him, and I've always said it, I mean, if you're going to the Alamo to take on the Indians, I'd certainly have him on my side without a shadow of a doubt. If I was in the trenches, I'd have him with me. I'd probably have him out in front of me, to be fair. I'd be hiding behind him. I mean, Stephen Farris has been a world-class player. I mean, you look at, you know, that iconic photograph of him picking up Will Guinea and running so far with him during that Rugby World Cup game in Eden Park in 2011. And I always remember a fantastic try that he scored against the Cheetahs in the Free State Stadium in Bloemfontein during the Lions Tour 2009, where he ran from inside his own 22 and scored a try in the far end. And unfortunately, injury ruled him out of the Test Series there. But we have so many positive things to think of when we think of the name Stephen Farris, and certainly hearing him speak there, I mean, just adds to that.
Yeah, and no doubt we will hear and speak to him again in the future. The other story of note today, and again, the issue of concussion within the game, the modern game of rugby, Craig Clark forced to retire based on medical advice from a number of sources after repeated incidents of concussion. You factor it in with the Florian Fritz incident, which frightened people so much from a couple of weeks back, and a finding in the coroner's court in Dublin towards the tail end of last week that, again, rugby and concussion are linked time and time again, and not in a positive way for the sport.
Yeah, they have to be, and it's desperately disappointing for everybody involved with Connacht that a player like Craig Clark has had to retire. But I mean, it's the correct decision. I mean, it really angers me when you see the situation regarding Toulouse and Florian Fritz. I see the doctor and physiotherapist have actually left the club, but I wonder how come the person who was inside in the changing room demanding that the player be left back out onto the pitch, and that was seen live on television, that's Guy Noves, how come he's still involved with the club?
Yeah, and for Craig Clark, a player who came to here with such promise, a real leader for Connacht on and off the field for the early stage of his career here, and again, a guy's health and guy's safety is paramount, but perhaps there's a place for him still within that setup to share the experience and knowledge he brought to the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, certainly, I mean, you can see his impact in terms of the players that Connacht have signed for next year. Bundy Yaki coming to play in the centre, and Mills Mulyaina, two of them involved with the Chiefs from Hamilton. I mean, Craig leading the Chiefs to back-to-back Super 15 titles. Certainly a huge inspiration, leader on the pitch, and none more so this year, I have to say, when Connacht played Toulouse in Toulouse and beat them there. And he was a man who led by his actions rather than his words. And he will be a huge, huge loss to Connacht rugby.
Indeed, our rugby commentator Michael Corcoran, thanks as always.